السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، إن شاء الله we will continue tonight inshallah in Asma Allah al-Husna, and we are getting to the names that are not mentioned of the in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but some scholars derived these names from the Quran. The names that inshallah we're going to be talking about today is Alimu al-Ghayb wa Shahada. Alimu al-Ghayb wa Shahada. The one who has a knowledge of Ghayb and Shahada. And now, what is Ghayb? Ghayb, that which is not known. That which is not known is Ghayb. That which we cannot measure with our senses is Ghayb. So, the senses that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, hearing, seeing, and touching, smelling, and so forth, when something that we cannot measure with our senses, it is Ghayb. And Ghayb, it is in two categories. The category of Ghayb that a temporary Ghayb that exists, but we don't know how to detect it. But there is a possibility that we might detect. And if we have tools to detect certain things, we can detect it with it, so it is not Ghayb anymore. And there is a Ghayb that we cannot, it's absolute Ghayb on us. That there is no way that we will be able to measure this existence of that which is absolutely Ghayb. One of these, Ghayb that there is no way that we will be able to measure it or know what it is, the Ghayb about Ar-Ruh. Ar-Ruh, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they asked Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْرُوحِ, they ask you about Ar-Ruh. قُلْ أَرْرُوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي, say to them that, say that the matter of Ruh belongs to Allah. وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا, and what you have from what you have given from knowledge, only a little. What you were given from knowledge, only a little. That means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us information. That information says basically that no matter what knowledge you have, you will not be able to know what the ruh is. You will never be able to know what the ruh is. So that is from the absolute ghaib. We don't know what the ruh is. There is alam al-mulk. Okay, and alam al-malakut. There is mulk and malakut. Mulk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, could be in the category of that which you can maybe, if Allah permits, we can measure. But that in the alam al-malakut, we cannot measure. It is an ownership that is exclusive. And there is some ownership, ghaib, that is now we cannot measure, but is measured by the angels. It's not ghaib to the angels. Okay? It's not ghaib to, be other beings that Allah created, but it is ghaib to us. And the knowledge of al-ghayb, Allah can give us. Can give us through, ru'yas and so forth. Yes, we can, you know, some would have ru'ya, and the ru'ya will tell them about maybe something will happen. Okay? And that is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to some. But the ru'ya, one thing that we need to know about the ru'ya, that you cannot build a judgment on it. You cannot build a ruling from it. Okay? You cannot, if you it does not change the Sharia and the halal and haram and right and wrong. If one dreams, you know, if you think that he dreamt was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam telling him to do something and it is against the Sharia, you cannot, you know, wake up the fact and they say, I'm going to do so because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told me that. No. In other words, Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he had a dream that he was slaughtering his son, that was a ru'ya of a messenger of Allah. So he took it as a command and went and tried to slaughter his son. If you have a dream that you have, you know, ru'ya that you're slaughtering your son, that you don't, you know, take it as a command and do so. The ru'ya of the prophets and the messengers of Allah are wahy, but ours are not wahy. Okay? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give gifts to some, this ru'a, even in having istikhara. Having istikhara or making istikhara is putting the matter with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to choose for you. Some will get ru'a. Some will get ru'ya after the istikhara. But you cannot build on the ru'ya a matter that you have to do or do not have to do. Still, you do not make a judgment from it as such. Afterwards, you do what you were planning to do. And then, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not will for it to go on, Allah will stop it. If Allah wills it to go, it will go. And you go now with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened for you or closed for you. عالم الغيب. غيب is what our religion is built on, and our knowledge is built on. Because if we do not believe in al-ghayb and take al-ghayb from the knowledge of al-ghayb from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we will not be qualified to be guided. We will not be qualified to be guided. Because the first knowledge about or quality about those who are muttaqeen, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. And who are the muttaqeen? الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. Those who believe in the unseen. The first knowledge that we have about muttaqoon, huh? It is that they are the one who believe in the in al-ghayb, the unseen, the undetected. Now, who are al-muttaqoon? Al-muttaqoon, they are the one that qualify to enter Jannah. So when the first attribute, if you will, about those who are muttaqoon, they are the one who, and they are qualified to enter Jannah, they have to believe in the unseen. So, now the unseen that we deal with and we get the knowledge of is unseen that we know that Allah knows of things to happen, or things are going to happen. So it is unseen, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that. Knows that which is going to happen. So we have submission and surrender with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with that is going to happen. So we have patience. Being patient on that which maqdur, that which is designed, known, and is going to happen on us, around us, and so forth. This is a part of a believer that once he has it strong, he will have patience on that which will happen in their lives. So you plan, make plans, and it does not work out because that is the qadar of it. You lose loved ones because that is the qadar of it. Things that happens in your way, that obstacles comes in your way, because this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills it to happen. Now, this believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alam al-ghayb, it makes our life easier and brings more patience into our hearts. And submitting to that, the fact that as-sabru ala al-maqdur becomes possible, to be patient on that which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained that will happen. Okay? So that which will happen, it will happen because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the command for it to happen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already written it in at the beginning of the creation. That which was created first, the first thing that was created was the pen. Allah created the pen and asked it to command it to write, and it asked, what do I write? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded it to write everything that will happen until the day of judgment. So that is written, and it will happen. Okay. Now, what is it that we have that if it's everything happens, has been written? So where is hellfire and paradise falls there, and what is our choices in there? The choice is in that which you make a decision in. There are things that you can make decisions in, and things happen to you and you cannot make decisions in. So we are having a common denominator with all the creations, but we have one quality that is different than all. That which we have in common with all the creations, we have no choice in. And that which we have different, the one thing that we have different than all the creations, that is the one we have choice in. And what is it that we are different than all the creations with? The intellect. The power to make a choice. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. But then we grow. We don't have a choice in this matter. So therefore, you don't have any hand in this. You get sick. You die in a certain time. You have a certain color of eyes, and you get gray in a certain time. You're going to lose certain hair, you know, and so forth. All of that happens to you despite of your intellect. Okay, you have nothing to do with that. You're just like a tree or an animal in these things. So therefore, or a rock or a mountain in that sense. So therefore, you don't have a choice in these matters that we have in common with others. But once a matter becomes a choice and it's an intellect issue, so therefore that is the one that would make a difference between hellfire and paradise. So what is it? The intention of why you're going to do what you're going to do, and then the plan of how you're going to do it. That is all done with your intellect. Okay? You decide that you're going to do something, and you're going to make a plan of how you're going to do it. Now, you can do that before you even move a finger. You could do that all internally. Okay? And that makes a difference between hellfire and paradise. Because إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ. Okay? The deeds are according to intentions. Okay? So now, there is غَيْب that you have no hand in. But now there are things that you have a choice in. And it is you're making decision, you're thinking, you're processing information, and you're making a decision how you're going to do things. Now you try to execute this. Now you know while you are executing your intention, the plan of how to do it. you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alim al-ghayb. So you have no idea how it's going to turn out. But you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows exactly how it's going to turn out. You just make the choices as you're going along according to the guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us. Okay? So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give any of his creation ghaib except with a measure, even the prophets and messengers of Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the knowledge of al-ghaib in totally. But in a certain things, Allah would choose to give it to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But other things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold it back from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he knew that he's got to work to find a place to go. So he established the first community of Muslims. But he did not quite know where. So he kept asking, going from one tribe to another, kept asking and so forth. If he knew that it was Medina, he would have gone only to the people of Medina and tried until, you know, it's done. Okay? When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Battle of Badr, he was choosing a place to camp, and he camped in a place, and a companion, Al-Habbab ibn al-Munzir radiyallahu anhu, came to said, "Ya Rasulullah, is this place a place of you picked it, is it a revelation or is it a ra'i? Is it an opinion?" See how beautiful the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yeah, so here is a companion knew how to think, differentiate between that which is ordained and that which you take an opinion in. And he knew that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has both. See? So he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "You told us to sit here. Is it something that is that qadr and the command of Allah, this is it? Or is it the opinion?" Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "It is the opinion." Then he said, "Ya Rasulullah," basically he was saying, "There is a better opinion." Okay? Okay, and he explained, he said, "Ya Rasulullah, we go to the big wheel of Badr, the big wheel, and put rocks on these. So we will drink and they will not drink." Then Rasulullah said, "Dhalika ar-ra'i wa hadha ar-ra'i." That is the opinion. And Rasulullah changed his opinion according to the opinion of Al-Habbab al-Mundhir rahmallah or radiallahu anhu. Okay, so here, but then Rasulullah sallallahu would get information about Jannah, information about hellfire. He would move forward in his prayer and come back, and put his hand forward and come back. And then the companion asked, "Ya Rasulullah, you did something that we've never seen you do before." He said, "Jannah appeared to me, and that was about to get you something from Jannah. Okay? And I realized this, you're not... You cannot, it is not for you now. It is not for you now." So here is Rasulullah would see something in Jannah and so forth and be able to, or he was about to get something from it. That is ghaib. Ghaib that is for impossible for us to see and to experience. Well, I don't know. Maybe some would have a ru'ya of Jannah. You know, this is a possibility that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give. But still, it is a possibility within the limit, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Wama khatara ala bali ala qalbi bashar," and it is not in it. La aynun ra'at, wa la udhunun sam'at, wa la khatara ala qalbi bashar. That in it, no eyes have ever seen, no ears have ever heard, and no heart have ever imagined. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us information about the unseen. And we know it exists, and we only take the information that is from it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell us about jinn, and saying that jinn, يَرَاكُمْ هُوَ وَقَبِيلُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا تَرَوْنَا, that he sees you and his people, the jinn, from where you cannot see them. So we know they see us, and we cannot see them. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us information about them. Okay, that they are created from marriage in minnar, that is from fire. Tell us about them that they can go up in the skies, and it was able to go. They were able to go up and try to listen to some revelation, and the one who tried to do so at a certain time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected the skies and would throw at them, command a star to be thrown at them, to burn them. That is unseen. That is we get information about according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What we are talking about, all these sessions about Asma'ullah al-Husna, it is information about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-haq, and He is unseen. He is from al-ghayb. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us information about Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at the same time, Allah says, "Laysa kamithlihi shay." There is nothing like Allah. So now there is nothing like Allah, but then you have information about Allah. And this is the beauty of our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will talk to us about ghaib with a way that we can understand, and we can understand that we cannot completely understand. See? And that is the beauty of it. This is the beauty of it. The beauty of it is if somebody comes and said, "I've seen Allah," says, "What you have seen is not Allah." Okay? And actually, it's impossible that that happened. And I'm happy that you could never do that. Okay? That's the beauty of it. Because now when you know the magnificence of Allah, start to know the magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are happy that you cannot see Allah. You understand? Meaning you can understand it. And you are happy that you will be able to see Allah. See? So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tell us that there is ghaib, absolute ghaib, you'll never be able to see, that's fine. But there is ghaib, we can try to make an effort to detect some ghaib, and we can do that. Okay, so we can have telescopes and look at the stars that we've never seen before, and look at things around it, and microscopes where we can look to a smaller things. So we look far for bigger things that we cannot, far things, and the near things that are small, and try to detect it and so forth. And we'll do that, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow us to do that. Okay? So, and also that which is the alam, the world that is seen, that is unseen to us, Allah knows all the time. Everything Allah knows at all times. And Allah is capable over everything at all times. So when Allah gives a command for things to happen in a certain ways, we submit and surrender to that command, and we are happy to be part of it. Be happy to be part of it. So tomorrow there are certain things that we're planning to do, and tomorrow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows how things are going to be according to His commands. So things will fall into a certain place in a certain time and so forth, and you go in it and you work with yourself in it. While you're doing that, you should not think that what you are doing, you are doing it away from the will of Allah. No. You are part of that execution of the qadr of Allah. You are part of that. Okay? And when you understand that, you could never relate something that you have done to yourself. Okay? Why? Allah has mulk. Allah has mulk. Has ownership. Your hand is an ownership that belongs to Allah. And your feet is an ownership that belongs to Allah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you a temporary ownership on it. So now, whatever it is that you decide to do, you're going to do with your hand, your body, your feet, your tongue, your eyes, your ears, and that all belongs to Allah, but have given you ownership on it. So now you start
you start working with this
that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. Now, once you start working with these, your little kingdom that you have, right? Or your limbs and everything, you start working with it, we tend to forget that all of this belongs to Allah. So once we started working with it and things works out, say, okay, I did this or I put this here and I put this there. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed your intention and plan to be executed. And the only thing that you were free in, your intention and the plan of the execution. But once you start working, everything belongs to Allah now. Absolutely belong, and everything you belong to Allah. But you have no choice in these matters now. Okay? So now, you get two people working in a lab. One doing the same experiment, and they get the same results. But one knows that this result, it is not because of his work, and he knows that it is by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala this is happening. And the other one saying that I succeeded by doing this. No. Success is to go to al-ghayb, that is that you'll be rewarded with. That is success. Real success. That you reach al-ghayb, that you are created to match either hellfire or paradise. Of course, success is to go to paradise. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow us to participate in this ghaib. Okay? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell us how to participate in it, the attitude of participating in it, by submission and surrendering to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the same time, you are going to be judged. Okay? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow your eyes, your ears, your hand and your feet to do good or bad. Allah allows it for both. And the choices you make is the choices that you're going to be judged on. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us something in Jannah that we are familiar with, but at the same time not quite familiar with. How? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He entered the believers into Jannah. وَأَدْخَلُهُمُ الْجَنَّةَ عَرَّفَهَا لَهُمْ عَرَّفَهَا لَهُمْ He entered them into Jannah and He made them know it. So you'll be able to recognize your Jannah. Okay? Your particular Jannah, you will go into and say, that is mine. Okay? Okay? How? It is because you are different than everybody else. And it is designed for you. That is in specifics. In general, in it, that which we know, but is different. Okay? كُلَّمَا رُزِقُوا مِنْهَا مِنْ ثَمَرَةٍ رِزْقًا قَالُوا هَذَا الَّذِي رُزِقْنَا مِنْ قَبْلٍ. Every time they receive a fruit in it, as a sustenance, they say, this is what we have received before. This is like what we have received before, but it is not like what it was received before. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to us that, tell us about, and this is the beauty again of the knowledge of al-ghayb. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say that in it there is ma'un maskub, water that is poured. What do you do with water? You pour it. You need to do something to the water to pour it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying that the water in it is poured already. So the work that you need to exert for the liquid there, you don't have to exert. It is served to you. Okay? وَظِلٍ مَمْدُودٍ. A ظِل, a shadow that is extended. مَمْدُود, meaning it's always there. We know a shady area in our life has a space and it has an end. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, yes, there will be shade, so you'll be familiar with it, but the one that you see in Jannah and experience in Jannah does not have an end. How could that be? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about them, they are facing one another. Okay? مُتَّكِئِينَ عَلَيْهَا مُتَقَابِلِينَ. They are reclining on it. On this surur. On these couches. Reclining on it. مُتَقَابِلِينَ. That meaning facing one another. How could be many people facing one another at the same time? With us in this life, it's difficult to imagine that dimension. But in Jannah it's going to be. وَطَلْحٍ مَنْضُودٍ. And it is talh, like a banana. Mandud, that means it is together and it's spread neatly in front of you. Have you tried to get a bunch of bananas of the tree? And how to get it down so heavy? Very, you know, very huge and heavy. And get it and put in, it is already done like this for you. This is the service. Now the quality, is sidrin makhdood. The sidr, also that is service and quality as well, which is a fruit that is in a tree that's full of thorns. So the thorns are gone from that tree. So the imperfection is gone. The rivers that is from milk, لا يتغير طعمه. It does not change in its taste. That is imperfection in the milk that we have in this life. That will be taken away. Now the wine, that is غير آس, ماء غير آسن, that is water that does not go bad. The water does not change in smell and taste and so forth. So it is as it is, the imperfection of it, the quality of change in it, it is gone. And the wine, لذة للشاربين, that is so sweet to those who drink it. And it does not take the mind away. So that imperfection is taken away as well and so forth. So here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created ghaib, unseen to us, and give us incentive with this unseen and told us about it. So it is something that is at your service without taking the means. It is for you and it is done for you. You don't do anything to acquire it there. Once you enter there, it is everything that is served for you. At the same time, nothing will change in a way of imperfection. Okay, everything is perfect there. Now, what is to us, what is perfect? We can always wish. We can always wish, but you could never reach the perfection because we don't know what it is. So you can wish that you don't die, and that is part of Jannah, that you don't die. You wish that you never get old, that is in Jannah. You'll be a young person, never get old. You could wish that you never get sick, that is in Jannah. You will never get sick. Okay? These are the wishes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the angels to tell the good news to those who are entering Jannah at the time of entrance. That you'll be young, you'll never get old. You'll be healthy, you'll never get sick. Okay, and you will be alive and never die. Okay? So here is the beauty of this information that is absolute. It's absolute, meaning that it is absolute haqq, and we know it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran will talk to us about the unseen, and we should believe in it as if it is seen. And we should deal with it this way. Example, things that happened in the past, Allah will put it to us as information that Allah will tell you, Alam tara, haven't you seen? No, I haven't. Right? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Alam tara kayfa fa'ala rabbuka bi ashabil fil? Have you seen what Allah done with the people of the elephant? What does that mean? Have you seen? No, I have not seen it. Right? But then, what does that mean? Allah knows that we have not seen it. But when Allah tells us about it, this information that Allah has given us about the unseen, about the past, it is more accurate and you believe in it more than if you were seen it yourself. Okay? That is the relationship with the Quran, with Al-Ghaib. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will talk to us about the unseen in a way of absolutes, and we take it as such. So not every religion who believe in the hereafter, we say, okay, we have an agreement with them. No. Not every religion that believes that there is Jannah and hellfire, we say, okay, so they believe in what we believe in. No. Okay? Because the day of judgment is unseen, but it has information in it, and that is the information that we have, and anything else is different than that, then it is not the hereafter that Allah tells us about. You know, it is not the time when people will gather around and then a cloud will be above you, and then you'll be lifted up in the cloud, and then after a while people will die, and then you'll be come down again from the cloud to earth, and this will be your Jannah. There is some people who believe that. Okay, Christians believe that. Now they say, we believe in the hereafter and paradise. Do we say yes? Are we in agreement? No. Our paradise is the paradise that is absolute, that Allah tells us about. And the hereafter, or the day of judgment, is the one that Allah told us about, not the one that you are thinking about. You find the people of the book saying, لَن تَمَسَّنَا النَّارُ إِلَّا أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودًا. The hellfire will not touch us except a few days. Okay? So now we have an idea now what hellfire they're talking about. Something that they don't mind be in it for a few days. Okay? But the hellfire that we know, you mind being in it in a split second. Okay? When Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, this hellfire, when a man who never seen a bad day in his life will be put in hellfire for a split second, and brought out, and then he will be asked about how he feels, he will say, I've never seen a good day in my life. Okay? So that is the unseen that we know. This is the unseen that we know. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have allowed, you know, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to take a journey in the unseen and to tell us about it in Rihlat al-Mi'raj. Ibrahim alayhi salam tells Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this journey, you iqra ala ummatika as-salam. Tell your ummah as-salamu alaykum from me. Okay? And tell them about Jannah. And Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam would tell Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about certain information of Jannah, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will tell us about it. Okay? From this information that gharsuha subhanallah walhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah wallahu akbar. The gharsu of Jannah, meaning the trees of Jannah, are what? Subhanallah walhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah wallahu akbar. Meaning these praises to Allah is your gharsu in Jannah, is your trees in Jannah. So you wanna actually, and see how beautiful this is. Do you wanna actually put some trees in your part of Jannah? Go ahead and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you will know. When you get there, you say, okay, when I was sitting there at Taqwa and such, I said, and here it is. Okay? Okay. It is the connection between us and al-ghayb that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to have. Allows us to have. Beautiful relationship. Okay? And the knowledge about al-ghayb that is scary also, it's a bounty from Allah. So we can stay away from it. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell us about how this journey to al-ghayb that you are looking forward to, how you go about it. And tell us about Jannah, there are difficulties. And about around hellfire, there are desires. And who told us about that? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And who told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about that? Jibreel alayhi salam. And Jibreel alayhi salam, he have seen it. He've seen Jannah before difficulties became around it. And he's seen hellfire before desires were around it. And he thought Jannah, everybody will enter it, until difficulty was there. And he said, oh, now it's going to be, you know, difficult to enter it. And he thought that Jannah, hellfire, nothing, no one will enter hellfire when they hear about it. But once the desire was there, he said, there are many will enter it. Because the desires were there. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Jibreel alayhi salam to go and look. that is unseen to us, but it was seen for Jibreel alayhi salam. Jibreel alayhi salam will come and tell Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam about it, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam will tell us about it. Okay. Now this journey, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow us to get to know this part of the unseen. And now our taqwa depends on it. So the more we believe in it as we see it, the more taqwa that we have. And taqwa is protection, it is recognition of the existence of Allah, recognition of the good and that we should do, that which we should stay away from, and general protection from the punishment of Allah, and seeking the protection of Allah from the punishment of Allah. So we run to Allah from Allah. So we run to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Allah to get to the unseen of Jannah, and run from Allah to away from the punishment of hellfire. Okay? And if it wasn't for the unseen, then this work of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would be difficult. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was getting the agreement of Al-Ansar, okay, people from Medina, first, before the Hijrah started, the second meeting and the time of Hajj was a secret meeting. So a greater number came, and they were given allegiance to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And what was the part that they had to do? They had to protect Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam just like they protect their families. They believe in him and fight in the way of protection if anybody attack him or attack Medina and so forth. These are very serious commitment. So before they give the agreement, one Ansari says, wait, from what it means in English, what do we get? Or what is in it for us? Okay? What did Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? لَكُمُ الْجَنَّةِ لَكُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. Then, what did they say? That is رَبِحَ. That is, the ribh is there. The success in the deal. This is successful deal. This is a successful deal. That we do all of this and we get Jannah. Now, these are the believers. That here, they do everything that they know they can touch. They know they're going to have difficulties, this and that, and you don't mind doing it. And then, saying that, okay, if you give us Jannah, something that they don't know. They know about, but they have not seen. But they don't mind spending their lives and getting that, because they know it's absolutely existing. It is from the absolute. It is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is the absolute reward. So they have no doubt in that. They have no doubt in that. And this is the peacefulness that Muslims are in. The peacefulness that Muslims are in. The day of Arafat. Someone was coming to the masjid. He's seen someone sitting here. He said, may I help you? He said, yes, I wanted to talk to somebody about Islam. So he said, come. And then they came and knocked on my door, my house. I come out and say, we were not in the prayer. I said, prayer is 1:30, though. He said, so it was 12:30, the brother said. I said, okay, there is someone here that wanted to know. I said, okay. And I said, okay, I'll come to the masjid. And we sat down, talked a little bit before the Zohar, prayed Zohar, and talked a little bit after Zohar. Now this person, why was he coming in here? He had difficult life, or had difficulties in his life. And he was sharing that with someone he used to know. And that person, he became a Muslim a while ago. So he was calling him, he lives far away, call him. He told him, you know, I'm having this. He said, man, go find out the closest masjid to you and go to talk to somebody. Okay? This is it. Okay, he told him, I found comfort as soon as I became a Muslim, and I did not take things as I used to take it, and everything is happening to me, and I'm taking it with ease, and my life is getting better. Okay, that is the general information that he gave him. Okay, so when he told him that, he said he went to the library, tried to borrow the Quran from there. Okay, and then he did not have a ride. He asked. Called the police and asked, where is the closest masjid here? They told him about Dar al-Taqwa. And then he asked a relative of his to drive him. So that his relative drove him here and dropped him off here. And said he was sitting there outside and there was nobody around. And he was just sitting for anybody to come to talk about Islam. Okay? Because somebody told him, you know, this is the answer. Okay? Subhanallah. So he came and we talked for a while. And then I said, at the end, I said, Alhamdulillah. I said, hey, are you ready to become Muslim? He said, yes. Alhamdulillah. And he accepted Islam. Okay. This is a bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A bounty all around. All around. A bounty for, you know, this building is a bounty. Okay. The bounty for us, for someone to come to us like this. And a bounty for him. A bounty, gift from all around. But now, what is this person was getting from his friend is the idea of, again, is the unseen. He did not give him particulars, but he said, generally, this is the easiness. You're going to come into easiness. And brothers, subhanAllah, there are those who were as coming to know about Islam, they're very, very intellectual, very, you know, 1 + 1 = 2, okay? So, if I cannot taste it, if I cannot see it, if I cannot smell it, I'm not going to believe it, right? This is how they were, okay? And as they come in and ask questions and so forth, one of them said, I kept coming here for a couple of years, asking questions until I ran out of questions, okay? And then I was hesitant. Alhamdulillah, accepted Islam. But as he accepted Islam, I was hesitant to talk to him about things like jinn, like what's in hellfire and paradise. And, you know, I was careful for this unseen, because this is the attitude he has. What if I don't touch it and smell it? You know, so I want him to be eased into this, rather to be thrown at him like this. Okay. And I found him in a very early, after he became a Muslim, asking about a hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ, about things that is unseen. Okay? Asking about the reward, what's the rewards of wudu? Okay? So I tell him, okay, Rasulullah ﷺ said that you make wudu, you make it good, and then you say, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله, all 8 doors of Jannah will open to you and you'll be asked to enter from whatever door you wish. Now, this is something, you know, I would not tell him, give him da'wah with, right? And now I'm hesitant telling him, you know, and he takes it, yes, let me write this down. And really, his heart is open to this. I was very surprised to see moving from this side to that side very quickly in the unseen like this. And asking constantly now about the unseen and the word of this and this, and things that I was hesitant to give. But the point here is that transformation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who does it. And the fitrah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created in us respond to this so much and so beautifully and quickly. And we need to constantly train ourselves into this, into knowing that Allah has the knowledge of al-ghayb, and the ghayb that we do not know that will happen to us sooner or later, and the ghayb that is absolute that we will know only later, never sooner. And once we have that, and we keep getting information about that, and build our lives around that, our life is going to get to be in a better kind of a higher quality of life, a higher, a more satisfying life. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Inshallah. You have the microphone, inshallah. You have it? No? Okay. Do you have a volunteer who can get it, inshallah? Okay. If you want to make any comments, inshallah. Brother Lu'ay, inshallah, make dua for him. He's coming soon, inshallah, maybe within a week or so, inshallah. I think within a week, inshallah. Yeah.
Did he make Hajj?
No, he just made Umrah on his way to Syria. Yes. He said it was beautiful because it was the time when not a lot of people come into Hajj yet. And the doors of Umrah were closed for passing buyers, you know, and so he was, he had a good time. Alhamdulillah. Okay, anybody? Okay, the brother went all the way there and got it, so you better say something, inshallah. No comments? Okay. So we'll get more difficult name next time.
I just one question, Sheikh.
Fadda.
Usually when I come, I only listen. I just wanted to find out, is there anywhere in the Quran or in the Sunnah that gave any reason why Almighty Allah hid himself from us? Is it for our own good?
Okay. First of all, when we say why Allah did this, the principle of that question is incorrect. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala لا يسأل عما يفعل وهم يسألون. Allah is not asked about what He does. They are the one who are asked. That is number one. Number two is, it is in the Quran, it is obvious. Why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, does Allah exist? Question for you, does Allah exist? Yes, right? Okay. Do we exist? Yes. Is our existence like the existence of Allah? No. Because we are created, okay, and at one time we did not exist. So our existence is from nothing. But the existence of Allah always been there. So from the very beginning, we don't know how about Allah, right? So we don't know how about Allah. The creator is never like his creation, okay? So now, the creator is always the creator, and the creation is always the creation. The creation has qualities from the creator, okay? But the creator has the epitome of all the attributes, okay? So we can hear, but Allah is all hearing. We could see, but as Allah all seeing. We have mercy, but Allah is the most merciful, and on and on and on. Okay? Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot be contained, because what we can contain is the creation. Right? What we contain is the creation. But the creator cannot be contained. Okay? Because the creator, away from his creation physically, but his with his creation with his attributes. Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us everywhere with his attributes. But physically, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above his creation. Okay? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if something is in the creation, then once it is seen, then it is contained. And Allah is impossible to be contained. Because what He created has a limit. He does not have a limit. So how can the one that is limited contain that which is, has no limit? Right? It's impossible. So if someone says, I see Allah, says, no, impossible. You can't. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Isa alayhi salam, saying to the Christians that Isa is his mother, do you take them deities when they eat the food and go to the market? Right? Meaning there is an interaction between them and everything else, and also they're in need of things that's lower than them, food and so forth, and they go to it. It does not come to them and so forth. Okay? So the Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, created a creation that has limitation. It has limitations. Okay? And that which has limitation could not contain that which has no limit. Impossible. So when you say, when people say they would see God or Jesus, God and so forth and so on, it's impossible. Because now you made God limited. Okay? Within the limited creation. So that is not befitting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahu a'lam.
The Quran mentioned that there will be jinnas in the Jahannam. Would they be also in the paradise as well? Number two, are there any degrees or layers after layers of the Jannah as well as Jahannam?
Yes. The Jannah is darajat, and hellfire is darakat. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked one of the companions, look up, look at the star. That will be the difference between one level to another level in Jannah would be as such. Okay? So yes, Jannah will be different degrees. And what was the first question?
The jinnats, you know, the...
The jinn?
Would they be in the paradise?
There is a reward. There are rewards for them. Yes.
So they will be with the...
Yes. Jinn? Allahu A'lam. But they will be rewarded.
In the Jahannam, it says that I will be putting the ins and the jinn in the Jahannam, but there is no mention that he will be putting it in the paradise.
Mm-hmm. There is a reward for the jinn because they had a choice.
But there would have a separate Jannah?
Allahu A'lam. I just want to enter it, inshallah. I don't care if there's any there.
Imam, both the shaitan and the jinn are made of fire.
Correct, yes.
So what's the difference between
them? No, shaitan is jinn.
Shaitan is jinn.
Shaitan is jinn, part of jinn, yes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Surah Al-Kahf, كان من الجن ففسق عن أمر ربي. He was created from, he was from the, among the jinn, and he came out of the commands of Allah. Okay, so he is from the jinn, but he, the difference is he asked that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him a chance to keep living until the day. He said until the day of resurrection. He was kind of being smart. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he wanted to escape, you know, death. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, إِذَا مِقَاتِ يَوْمٍ مَعْلُومٍ. That is until an appointed time. But he was given the that from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he will not die until the end of the world. Shaitan himself, okay? So we will not have, his life will continue until the end of the world, until the Qiyamah, yes. So he has a huge resume. Okay, the experience is all there. That's right. Yes. Okay.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum as-salam.
Can you please explain to us when Surah Rahman was read in front of the jinn, uh-huh, the company of jinn,
mm-hmm,
whenever they heard Wala alai rabbikum ma tukazziban, they replied la bishay la bishay rabbina nukazzib.
Yes.
And tell us something about it, like they were the good jinns, and
yes,
and what are the reward for them, like just like reward like we have Jannah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, the reward of them from them a Jannah as well. Yes. The question was Jannah like ours or Allahu A'lam, it is Jannah. Yes. Okay, and in Surah Al-Jinn it is clear in that. Okay. That they heard the recitation and they realize it is coming like the recitation that used to come upon Musa alayhi salam. Okay. And they accepted Islam. And after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came from At-Ta'if, after the people of At-Ta'if did not receive him and pushed him out, and that was right before or after Al-Isra' wal-Mi'raj, wallahu a'lam, but within that time frame, that the jinn listened and they called one another to come and listen. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited the Quran for them, and they accepted Islam. And every time they heard فَبِأَيَّ أَلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ, which of the bounty of your Lord both of you deny, both meaning jinn and ins, and they related or responded that they do not deny, they are not from those who deny. And the believers or men did not respond the same way. So there was a reported that Wallahu A'lam, that Rasulullah Sallam said that the jinn responded better than you did. Yes. And so, وَأَمَّا الْقَاسِطُونَ فَكَانُوا لِجَهَنَّمَ حَطَبًا. Those who are unjust, they will be a dweller of hellfire and they will be punished there. That is in Surah Al-Jinn. So, and for them there is a reward as well. Allahu A'lam.
When you say unjust, can you expand that a little bit, please?
What?
When you said unjust, can you expand that a little bit, please?
The highest dhulm is to take partners with Allah. Okay? That is the highest dhulm or injustice. Okay? And so there is no forgiveness for that. At the day of judgment, there will be no forgiveness. It's not up to this deed, a bad deed is not up for forgiveness, period. But anything under that could be forgiven or could be punished. Okay? إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءَ. Indeed, surely Allah will not forgive to take partners with Him, but will forgive anything below that to whoever he wishes. So the believer or muwahid, the muwahid, with his faults is better than a kafir with his good manners or good things. Okay? Yes, so one Muslim thief better than an earth full of honest kuffar. Okay? Okay. Because the Muslim thief, he has a chance to be forgiven and or punished or even enter in hellfire, but eventually his reward is Jannah because he is a muwahhid. But a kafir, no matter what he carried from good manners, shirk has no forgiveness in the hereafter. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك جزاكم الله خيراً